with the author of the new novel, FDR Drive, former director of the FBI, James Comey. Okay, last time you were on the show, you said participants in the January 6th riot and insurrection should be, quote, brought to justice and punished severely. Since then, the president took a slightly different tack. He pardoned all of them without differentiating what their crimes had been. Don't listen to them. Make your own decision. Was that a good decision or a bad decision by the president of the United States?
It was an obscenity that will stain this country forever.
How do you...
Well, that's rich. The FBI director, former James Comey, it's a stain that will live forever. It's an obscenity, he said. Well, I'll tell you what an obscenity is. An obscenity is an FBI director who lies to the American people, who tries to destroy his president, who actually plots and schemes with the head of the CIA, with the former President Barack Obama and a former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, a guy who lies, who laughs about calling for the assassination of that president. That's what's really an obscenity. And so James Comey has the audacity to make those statements. And today, one of those people that he felt it was an obscenity to pardon is joining us today. Jake Lane was in prison for 4 years as a young man. Started out as a very young man because he happened to go to the Capitol. And he was in the tunnel when Roseanne Boylan was trampled. There are lots of things that happened with Jake. But it's been 6 months since he's been pardoned. And I want to read you something. He sent me a blog that he wrote not long ago that was very moving to me. He says, among other things, adjusting to life as a free man at times feels more difficult than the 900 days of solitary confinement I endured. He said they tortured us just 5 minutes away from the United States Capitol for 4 years. How could our hearts not burn with the fires of anger and hatred for what they have done to us? Lord, deliver us from this vengeance that burns inside our hearts for those monsters. Give us the Holy Spirit of forgiveness and bring your recompense of justice to these evil people. Take this burden from us and restore us to our families and dignity as free American men. Please, God, heal me from all that they have done. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot more to this that he shared, but we're going to talk to him in person today so that you can hear what's happened this past 6 months and what's happened to many of the J6ers in these ensuing months as things have been unfolded. They're free, but now what? They're free, but now what? And we'll talk about that today. But first, there are vast numbers of Americans who have not had a chance for life because their mothers have decided to terminate their lives, either in utero or with the abortion pill, whatever they're doing. And so even if for no other reason, that shouldn't happen in America because we've promised everyone the right to life, and that includes our babies. So on this July, the celebrating the birth of our nation, we remember that, and we want to do everything we can to change it. Preborn is certainly doing that, and that's by showing moms the photos of their baby in utero, where they can see them sucking their thumb or moving around. It's just beautiful, and that's what happens, and it changes moms' minds. Most of them actually do change their mind when they see that. One ultrasound is $28, and we just hope and pray that you'll be generous and give your best amount to help stop taking the lives of unborn babies in this country. We need to do it right now. So lots of things, good things are happening. Let's add this to the list. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a message, some response, some a thing of observation, something you didn't like, something you did like. We love hearing from you. So call 662-821-2040 and to leave us a message about what you think about what you're hearing. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. And you can also find us at my website, which is sandyrios.com. I think that the It's easier to listen to the podcast doing that. If you're not used to podcasting, sandyrios.com. However, if you're an AFR listener, you probably have already discovered, I hope, that you can go to AFR.net, AFR.net, and listen to the program, or you can go to any social media platform, Apple or Spotify or Amazon or any of those, and listen to Sandy Rios 24/7 anytime. Well, you can listen to it, by the way, 24/7. Wasn't that clever? Anyway, so there are lots of ways to listen, and I encourage you to do that. All right, 6 months since he's been free, Jacob Lane has a lot to say. He's a New Yorker. He's observing a lot of things in New York. He's observing a lot of things about what's happened to him and to his friends. A lot of tragedy, but also some hope. And so that's what we'll talk about today on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Convicted January 6 rioters walked out of a Washington, D.C. detention facility just before midnight to crowds of supporters cheering them on. Pennsylvania brothers Andrew and Matthew Valentine were arrested for assaulting law enforcement during the 2021 U.S. Capitol attacks. Just last week, they were sentenced to 2.5 years each after pleading guilty to felony charges. President Trump issued sweeping pardons for more than 1,500 people who violently attacked the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago. He also commuted the sentences of 14 people convicted or charged with engaging in the separate seditious conspiracies. Those include former leaders of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, who were sentenced to some of the longest prison terms.
We're going to release our great hostages that didn't do, for the most part, they didn't do stuff wrong.
The idea that now Donald Trump and his Republican friends are just coming in and trying to whitewash the whole thing and pretend not only did it never happen, it was nothing but a picnic. And that's just not going to work.
Trump was expected to further direct the incoming attorney general to dismiss all pending indictments against January 6 defendants who have not yet had their cases settled. The DA's office in Washington says that move would end roughly 470 ongoing cases. Current and former DOJ officials have warned that freeing violent offenders could put prosecutors, judges, and witnesses involved in all of these cases at risk. Live in the newsroom, Brianna Borghi, WCVB, News Center 5.
All right, well, I could just say we're not going to whitewash the events of January the 6th. We're going to blow them wide open. It's in process, and we're going to do everything we can so that people that are learning the truth about Russiagate right now, all the ways our esteemed FBI director, our president of the United States, our director of national intelligence, our CIA director, John Brennan, were involved, and Hillary Clinton, in really a true insurrection, a true case of trying to overthrow the president of the United States. So we're going to expose this one, too. So hang on to your seatbelts. Well, I've asked Jake Lane. Jacob Lane was my guest so often during that period of incarceration after January 6th. Jake was in the thick of all of it. He would not recant or take back what he had done, just impassioned about what was true and what wasn't true. And in the course of that, Jacob shared his faith in Christ, which I think was kind of new to him at the time. Had a spiritual renewal, was, you know, kind of then became sort of a chaplain and a spiritual mentor to lots of the other guys. Jake has a big personality because I think he worked in New York City as I recall, a promoter of all kinds of things, including nightclubs. And he has tremendous gifts, but he spent 4 years, I think, 4 years plus, in part in the D.C. gulag, most of it in that. And he was there that night, that midnight that you heard that news report describe, and I was actually with them too, at least on the screen, and watching it all. It was just the most thrilling night, truly, for me. But nothing compared to what it was like for Jacob. It was 6 months ago, and I've asked him to join us today. Jacob Lange, God bless you, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's been a wild last 6 months since I was freed from the political gulag, Biden's gulag archipelago. It's just been nonstop fighting to get us justice because, as you mentioned, right in your, you know, incoming there, that we haven't had any arrests yet. There has been a criminal referral of Obama, but nothing pertaining to January 6th, no restitution, no arrests, but there looks like there's going to be a new January 6th Select Committee and run by Representative Loudermilk, which is very promising.
Absolutely. You know, you made a point. You just did a post that you sent to me, and you say, among other things, they tortured us just 5 minutes away from the United States Capitol for 4 years. They tried to make an example out of us, to scare the rest of the American patriots into submission. No religious services, no direct outdoor sunlight, no legal library, no nutrition, 4 years. And I can attest to this, Jake, because I remember how hard I tried to get someone to be able to go in and talk to you guys, a chaplain, someone like that. And it was a roadblock. And to honestly, Jake, I don't want to, at this time you're on the other side of the bars, I couldn't get pastors to go in. I couldn't get men whose names I won't mention on the air to go into that prison and minister to you guys. They didn't want to get involved. And that's the other part of this disgrace. Good men kept silent. And that's part of why you suffered so much. Let's, before we get to, look, none of this is really great news. I know that. I'll just say it up front. But we have to kind of recap it so people will understand. I said that you were in there for 4+ years, and you were. But give people an idea of what that was like. Just an idea of what you endured.
Sure. You know, it's been a long healing process, and part of that healing process is coming to terms with really what just devastation, both socially, financially, not spiritually, because, you know, in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. But spiritually, for some people, they just became war-torn and bottomed out. 1,600 Americans were persecuted by factions of the global government working through the Washington, D.C. stranglehold to persecute patriots that stood up against the stolen election on 2020. I was one of those men. I was arrested 10 days after January 6th, and I was moved to 17 different prisons throughout 4 years and 6 days in a torture technique called diesel therapy. And that's basically where you move an inmate around, you three-point shackle them, hands shackled to your waist and your feet shackled together, and sometimes even put us on airplanes and flew us all the way to Oklahoma, from Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, back to West Virginia, up to the D.C. jail. And all of this is designed so your family does not know where you are. Your lawyers cannot get you legal documents. You can't work on your case. You're struggling to survive. You're struggling even to get a meal within a 24-hour period. And so they moved me around, and when I wasn't being moved around, over 900 days I spent in solitary confinement, which is 23 hours a day, sometimes 22 hours a day inside the cell. And then the whole entire weekend you're in the cell, so 72 hours straight without a shower, without leaving an 8x10 box. And inside that 8x10 box is a 2-inch thick little pad that you lay on. That's called a mattress, but it's a yoga mat, a steel bed frame, and a steel toilet. I did many months of my life with no chair to sit down in. I had to eat my meals off the floor. They opened up a little doggy door and slid my tray in on the floor, and I ate on the floor of my cell without direct sunlight for many years. No religious services. We had to fight for those. I got sent to solitary confinement so often because I was, you know, relentlessly asking the guards and putting a, you know, slips in and grievance forms. Where's our religious services? We need to see chaplains. You have men in here suffering. They need Bibles. And they were just so indifferent. They were just so grotesquely inhumane to us. They treated us subhuman. I mean, even your dog, Sandy, gets out of the house once a day for some fresh air, some sunlight, some grass, and none of that was afforded to us. It was really, you know, just a scare tactic because they wanted people on the outside, right? everyday American 1776 patriots that are willing to stand up and fight, stand up and speak out, stand up and do something against tyranny. They wanted to show the consequences of being a modern-day patriot in a tyrannical regime. And so that's why they brutalized us so badly, so that all of you listeners out there would become chilled into exercising your rights, chilled to be frozen away from ever going to the United States Capitol and standing up and protesting or doing any type of, you know, overt political activities. They wanted to shut down the American patriots, but God, what the devil intended for evil and intended to scare the American patriots, it completely failed, because God had used us as an example of perseverance in the midst of this incredible adversity, and people saw what Jesus Christ, the living spirit of God, can do in men, can help you endure. And they saw our fight and our battle, and just 6 months ago, 6 months and 5 days ago, I was released from the D.C. jail after 1,467 days of malnourishment, solitary confinement, you know, years-long stint sometimes in solitary, not being able to have a family visit for 18 months. I couldn't hug or see my parents. It's choking me up now to even think about this stuff, because it's just what they did to us is so reprehensible, and there's been no justice yet, and my heart is burning for justice, Sandy.
Yes, Jacob, I understand that completely. You know, I would say, just to put perspective on this, I don't think this helps, but maybe it will. I've actually seen trauma. I saw it overseas, especially once I was in North Korea on 9/11, and these four little boys had swum across the Tumon River to get food. They were starving, and they made it to northern Manchuria, and they were living in the home of a Chinese woman who was cooking for them, but they had to hide. They couldn't go outside, and I sat in a circle with them on a bamboo mat as they told their story, but about how they swam and how they had to encourage each other just to survive. And the little guy, and you know what? I say little, Jake. The thing of it is, I thought they were like young boys, but they were 17. They were 17, 18 years old, but they were malnourished. So they were tiny. And this young man sitting next to me was just, couldn't hardly talk. He was so traumatized by what they had lived through. His face just, you know, was frozen in grief and in the horror, just frozen. And I saw that in other faces, too, of stories that I won't repeat. My point is that you guys have been through such a horrendous time of, you described it. I can't add anything else. It's horrific. And I watched it from afar. I could hardly stand it myself. And so in their moments of despair, I suppose one thing that helps is to, this is normal. Whatever trauma you're feeling, this is part of God's way of healing you. Because otherwise, you cannot be in denial. That's not healthy. That won't get you whole. But feeling the full throes of this grief and all the repercussions is part of the way you're going to get healed. As strange as that seems, I know it's true. But now that you're out, and you just wrote me not long ago that one of your good friends had died. We want to tell his story. We talked about it privately. But what can you tell us about your good friend and what happened to him?
Of course, Sandy. You're really trying to work on the waterworks here today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? But Jake, here's the thing.
No, I'd love to.
Every
tell
time
it
I every no, but wait,
needs to
but
be cemented.
Every time I talk to you, you're bold and confident, and you are. And that's the way God has made you. But this is a part of your personality too. This tenderness and the realization of what they did to you without wallowing in it, but just as a way of getting past it. So, okay, I don't mind your tears. I love your tears, and God loves them too. So let's hear about your friend.
So Barton Shively, nicknamed Bart, was a January 6th political prisoner, a towering, beautiful man, both inside and out, just 6'4", All-American football player, U.S. Marine. He was an All-American hero that was subjected to contaminated drinking water at Camp Lejeune and developed stage 2 lymphoma by the time he was arrested. They put him in prison for 18 months and denied him cancer treatment. And then when they finally gave it to him, they made him undergo cancer treatment during the daytime at a hospital and then transport him with his hands and feet all shackled together, weak and cooked alive. Literally, I mean, we had to tend to his wounds. We had to redress his wounds every night. When he came back to the D.C. gulag, he had to stay in his prison cell just like every other inmate while being, you know, I mean, cooked alive with radiation. His body smelt of burning flesh. And he almost died in the gulag. And they so mishandled his treatment that by the time he left, the judge had literally given him a larger sentence but said, you're not dying on my watch. I'm sending you home. He had already developed into stage 4 lymphoma. And when I finally got released from the gulag, I went and visited my brother Bart, who was still, you know, healthy enough. I mean, his body was outwardly bubbling up with lesions, cancerous skin tumors and lesions on every part of his body, but he was still strong enough to walk his dogs and, you know, and stay at his home. And I visited him a few times there in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. And, you know, Bart and I were best friends. I baptized Bart in prison. And the story behind that is incredible. You know, his coming to the Lord and his surrender to God during his struggles and where he found strength. I mean, they even put him in solitary confinement at one point for 2 weeks, and where he got to read the whole Bible through. And, you know, Bart had just a month ago passed away on July 2nd. And, you know, we threw him the most honorable funeral possible. We took him home for hospice. We stood by his side during hospice. Jan Sixers flew in from across the country to say their final goodbyes and tend to him in his trailer home there that he, you know, bought after January 6th in the mountains. And me and James McGrew, U.S. Marine, Peter Stager, Shane Jenkins, Ryan Nichols, Robert Morris, U.S. Army Ranger, all came to him and tended to him. And then when he finally passed, which was just so hard to watch him deteriorate, and the pain he was in was incredible, throwing up, the inside of his body was coming out. His body was eating itself. The cancer had eaten him from both inside and out completely. And when he had finally passed, we threw him the most magnificent funeral. He got full military honors at Indian Town Gap National Cemetery, 21-gun salute, buried in a U.S. Marine Corps casket. About 50 to 100 J-6ers attended his funeral. And one of the most beautiful parts about this story is that Bart didn't have a family, but we were his family, and we carried my brother, me and five of the other J-6ers as his pallbearers, and we eulogized Bart for 2 hours. And Bart had a big, beautiful family that loved him so much because what we endured together, and how we suffered and struggled together made us into the strongest family. And it just shows you the power of God to bring people together in the midst of even catastrophe. And I've been healing from that moment for the last month here, just trying to, you know, figure out what's true and wholesome and right in my life. And just because life is so precious, and Bart died at 58 years old. And he's an American hero that was twice, you know, burnt by the government, burnt on being a Marine at Camp Lejeune, and then burnt again when they threw him in prison. And it just shows you that this is we the people's country, and don't ever trust your government. They don't have your best interests at heart. These monsters, they watch Bart die, and they cause his death is on their hands, and the D.C. jail and the U.S. Marshals and the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice. They murdered Bart, and they murdered other Jan Sixers who committed suicide because of the egregious charges. And we have a struggling community that's many homeless men. Many men have gone back to prison already. Not many, but a handful. Because they're homeless and they're suffering and they're struggling. They're trying to survive. I had a couple guys call me from mental hospitals already that have had breakdowns. Family units that have been torn apart, divorces, cars and homes being repossessed and bankruptcies. It's a very broken community, but God is using the brokenness of our community to show the real strength that he has, because we're still standing. Here I am running for United States Senate. with the front runner number one political video in the country that we released to announce the candidacy coverage by Newsweek just a couple weeks ago that was extremely favorable. And, you know, the American people love a true underdog story. And if God could save me from the gulag, I know he can save this country. And he is saving our country. And we should be grateful that we have President Trump, because we would be in a tyrannical nightmare if it wasn't for him, and I'd be rotting away for the next 25 years in prison, Sandy, if it wasn't for President Trump. So God bless President Trump, and God bless the memory of Bart Shively. Never forget Bart Shively's story.
The one thing, the one thing that horrible story about Bart, just, and I know you know this, Jacob, but maybe just it's time to remind you again, God didn't miss any of that. He knows everything they did. He knows every deed. He sees, and there will be justice. There will be justice. There is a heaven. There's a judgment. There's going to be a new earth. Bart's got a new body. Just think about it. I mean, that's just, you're going to see him again. And that's all true. It's not fantasy. It's right there in the Word. And so I just an interesting thing. I interviewed James McGrew and Shane Jenkins way, way back after they were first incarcerated. I used to talk to them before I knew you, Jacob. And I think Shane was leading Bible studies, wasn't he, in the gulag right away, in the D.C. gulag?
100%. Yep. When I got thrown in solitary confinement for 3 months, he took my steed and led the Bible study as I was in the basement of the D.C. jail.
Yeah, some good things have come out of it, but we're not done yet. I mean, you guys are still in process, and you've just done a great job describing the aftermath of all of this. And I just talked with Joe Hanneman of The Blaze, because he's just done an article on the brand new J6 committee. And you'll find this interesting if you don't know this, Jake. One of the things the J6 committee is going to look into is the death of Roseanne Boylan. You were right there when that happened, as I recall. You were next to Roseanne, weren't you?
Unfortunately, I had her in my arms as they murdered her. Identified, you know, at about 4:20 p.m. in the afternoon on January 6th, the Capitol Police did a maneuver basically to push people out of the tunnel. But the only problem with that was that there was a flight of stairs at the other end of that tunnel. And they pushed people backwards down a flight of steps, and it created a stampede and a dog pile of human bodies, about 3 to 4 people deep. And when people were struggling to get to their feet and trampling one another, the police kept on pushing people down on top of one another, still continued to pepper spray people, still bludgeon them with steel batons and other weapons. And I saw that happen and transpired, and I got right into the middle of that that human swimming pool, and I had my arms on Roseanne Boylan, yanking 4 or 5 times as hard as I could to try to dislodge her out of the bottom of the dog pile. And after a while, I kind of ascertained that she was beyond saving, and that there were other people like Philip Anderson, the young black man, that were in a better position and still conscious and still alive to be saved. And I had basically triaged the moment and moved my attention over to Philip Anderson after I could not get Roseanne up. Every time I tried, they pushed more people on top of her, and I think she had already passed at that point, or had been within inches of her life. She was probably savable by, you know, if she was immediately thrown into an ambulance and, you know, resuscitated and given AED or whatnot. But at that point, she was gone. And I moved over and I picked Philip Anderson. I bear hugged him. He's a 6'4", big man, lovable, firebrand patriot. But I didn't know him from anybody at that day. And I dragged him down about maybe 20 yards down the steps to where the volunteer medics, the patriot medics, were. And they resuscitated him, and they saved his life. And, you know, we lost Roseanne, but, you know, it's just these circumstances, there needs to be justice.
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing is with Philip Anderson, before that day, Philip was a black conservative in California. And I had covered, he used to hold these rallies in California leading up to the 2020 election. You know this, I'm sure, Jake. And he was actually attacked by Antifa. I think they cut off all of his ear, but they really hurt him. He's so traumatized. I'll never forget that.
He got his face smashed in, and like 3 or 4 of his front teeth knocked out.
That's right. That's right. And he kept them knocked out for a while, didn't he? I mean, he was just...
He had to get facial reconstructive, dentist cosmetic surgery.
Yeah. Anyway, Philip Anderson, as you said, did survive, thank God. But these are just little pictures, windows into some of the things that happened. And I guess the hopeful news is that this committee can actually get into some of that stuff. Philip Anderson, Roseanne Boylan, Victoria White, who has a whole other story of how she was brutally beaten, and she was in the tunnel. No one's ever mentioned it. That first J6 committee had nothing to say about it. And so, about any of them. That's what I'm saying. And so, one thing I want to say publicly, President Trump is behind this committee. There's a lot of shenanigans that have gone on in the House of Representatives, even under the current configuration. A lot of people have they're guilty themselves of doing things that they shouldn't have done regarding to January 6th. At the very least, and not the least thing, is denial, just refusing to help in any way, refusing the truth and not wanting to talk about it, but other things too. And so it's been very hard to get this second committee stood up, but President Trump intervened. And he's assured Barry Loudermilk that he'll have the resources that he needs to do this investigation. So I just want to tell people that, once again, President Trump is coming to the rescue on something very important. Now, one thing you said in your blog that we haven't had a chance to talk about is that you had a conversation with Tommy Robinson. Tommy is that activist in England who's been protesting the out-of-control invasion of people from other countries, but also mostly the Muslim population, the rapes of little girls. And he has been, he was taken away like in broad daylight. And I don't even know what the rest of his story is. Maybe you could tell us, Jake.
Tommy is a great patriot from across the pond, political prisoner twice over now, has spent a lot of time in solitary confinement as well. Me and him have been talking recently. Kind of sharing our coping mechanisms with how we're doing since we've been out of prison, and what we're doing to continue our battles to save our countries. Because many people may not realize this, but you go away for 4 years and 20 million illegal immigrants or more possibly come and storm your country. You come out to a fundamentally changed fabric of your society. It no longer looks like America. I no longer recognize my country. And Tommy had invited me to be a speaker at his huge free speech rally that he's doing at Waterloo Station, right there, central London. He's doing that on September 13th. So if you guys want to be part of the biggest free speech event in world history, it looks like it's gearing up to be, please make it over to London on September 13th. It is going to be epic. And, it's all surrounded by these laws that they've implemented all across Europe that you can't even mention. Migrant crime, you can't mention Muslim grooming gangs, you can't mention becoming a minority in your own country, being basically gentrified out, being whitewashed out. And so Tommy and I, he's become a great mentor and friend of mine. And, we're going to continue our fight. And that's one of the main messages here. Yes, we're dealing with traumatic, healing, moments here, like our friends passing that were abused by government. For restitution in our lawsuits, we're looking for justice for the perpetrators, but we have a country to save outside of our own, political battle here with January 6th. And I think that God, after he's done using us, the January 6ers, for this battle to, drive out the deep state, he's going to continue to use us, because you can't get stronger warriors than the Jan 6ers. We stood up when no one else would, at the United States Capitol, when everybody was willing to pack it in and let this demonic pedophile Joe Biden become president. We stood up to redress a grievance of a stolen election, and we're going to continue to stand, Sandy, and that's what I want to inspire people out there. If the Jan 6ers can, endure what we've endured and continue our battle forward, then surely you guys can repost content, speak out, go to rallies, donate to your favorite political and national conservative organizations. Just keep being a part of the healing process and the part of the fight in this country. Don't give up and don't shut up. Let's keep moving forward.
Amen and amen. And so practically speaking, is there any organization yet helping you, any restoration, any an employment agency, anything trying to give you counsel, any church trying to reach out or pastor trying to pastor you, anything like that happening?
It's we the people versus the establishment, as it's always been. You know, you can't wait for help from these people. We've started our own organizations. We've built our own communities. We host our own events through the January 6th organizations I've started. Federal Watchdog is the primary one that's behind the $50 billion huge lawsuit, the world's largest lawsuit ever on the Department of Justice in history. And hundreds of J6 plaintiffs have joined me in that. And so if you guys want more information how you can support what we're doing and our next event that we're doing is actually the first official January 6th welcome home party and celebration of what we went through, and just a time for us to be honored and to celebrate and to be in the presence of patriots that you know respect us instead of getting tossed out of CPAC like me and Joe Biggs and Enrique Tarrio and a bunch of people. They got our credentials revoked, and you know they keep on doing all these other political speaking engagement events, and you know what they're still doing? They're still bringing up reporters who reported on us to talk about January 6th instead of bringing up the actual prisoners themselves. So there's a lot of gatekeeping going on. And so if you guys want to attend the J6 Welcome Home Celebration, it will be in Miami, Florida on August 30th, Saturday, Labor Day weekend, 5 to 10 p.m. It'll be at Electric Lady Venue. We have a big stage and speakers lined up, great speakers, J6ers, all Jeremy Brown, amazing, Enrique Tarrio, Joe Biggs, Philip Anderson will be speaking, and many, many others, and then other conservative leaders that stood by our side. And I'd love to invite you there, Sandy, to be a speaker and join us.
Thank you, Jake.
And if you guys look to yes, of course. And if you guys are looking to donate to help the January 6ers rebuild their lives, go to J6Rebuild.com. That's the letter J, the number 6, J6Rebuild.com. That's my organization. I personally manage it. And, you know, we're helping every single day keep J6ers off the streets. You know, we give them like a month-long Airbnb or, you know, a few weeks in the extended stay motels and stuff just to, you know, try to help them get jobs. We need all the help we can get. There's so many broken situations, and we won't stop fighting, you know, until every J6er is made whole and all the perpetrators of this insane injustice, this coup that they did on us and this torture are put behind bars. So please help us in our fight, guys. J6Rebuild.com. It means the world to us. We're very grateful.
Jake, where can they go to find out information about the Welcome Home?
Oh, so guys, follow me on my X page, my Twitter page. It's Jake Lang, L-A-N-G. Just go on Twitter and type in Jake Lang on any social media, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me anywhere. And we put out information on that all the time. And you guys can, there'll be an RSVP link, you know, a place to, you know, it's going to be a charity fundraising event for J6 Rebuild as well. So you guys buy a ticket or make a donation to the organization to help the J6ers rebuild their lives. Because it could be years, if we ever get any financial restitution from the wrongful incarceration, the denial of our civil liberties, the insane selective prosecution, all these should have monetary damages. And we hope Trump's administration, if anybody here is in contact with their congressman or anybody in Trump's administration, let them know the J6ers deserve restitution, because majority of them lost their homes and their entire livelihoods, their careers, all everything, their cars. They came home to nothing, like an atom bomb hit their lives. So please, guys, follow me on my X page, my primary one, Twitter, Jake Lang, L-A-N-G, and go to J6Rebuild.com, and you can make a donation there, and then you'll start receiving our emails for all these events and different engagements that we do as well. So if you go to J6Rebuild.com, make a donation, then you'll be signed up for all of our emails and updates as well.
Now people can see why you are so talented and a great promoter. I'm going to hire you for the show, but I'm going to leave you one last piece of good news, Jake. If you don't know it, former Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Gordon, he was the former D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office spokesperson. Attorney, sorry. He got his walking papers. He was led the most politically charged and abusive prosecution in U.S. history of J6ers. He and two others got their walking papers last week from Pam Bondi. So I just thought I would share that with you. That's the good news. That's the tag of justice here
that's
for you.
That's great news. That's a very first step. You know, but here's the caveat. By this time in the Biden regime, hundreds of J6ers had been rounded up, police busting down their doors, this militarized FBI, stealing people from their homes, snatching them in front of their children at gunpoint. And so, you know, a handful of fires in the DOJ doesn't cut the mustard. We need arrests. The American people will not be satisfied until our leadership, some of the people that were in charge of the January 6th original select committee that obfuscated evidence, that tampered with witnesses, are led out of the people's house in handcuffs and brought to justice. We will not be satisfied until those things happen.
Yep. Well, I don't blame you, but there it is. So, Jake Lane, thank you. God bless you, and keep in touch, Jake, and don't give up, because you have a mighty Savior. You know that. He won't forget you. He won't forget you. May feel like
thank
he's
you.
Left you sometimes,
Sandy,
but
I want to give
never
you a
leave
personal,
you.
Huge, loving hug, and thank you for all of the support that you've had for me and my J6 family these last 4 years. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, God bless you, Jake, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe v. Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this. And you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A fired federal prosecutor is now suing the Trump administration for wrongful termination. Michael Gordon says his dismissal last month was unjust. The former assistant U.S. attorney says he was abruptly fired from his position without warning or cause after prosecuting dozens of rioters who participated in the January 6, 2021 Capitol insurrection. He says he was notified of his termination with a one-page letter signed by Attorney General Pam Bondi, citing the power of the president outlined in Article 2 of the Constitution. Gordon is one of three fired DOJ officials who filed the lawsuit against Attorney General Bondi late yesterday. Tell us why. Why do you believe you were fired because of the actions you took in the aftermath of January 6th?
Well, it has to be that, because it can't be anything else. So tell us more about that. Tell us more about those prosecutions, the January 6th defendants that you did and your colleagues did prosecute that you believe led to your dismissal.
Yeah, so I prosecuted those cases for 2 years. I joined the Capitol Siege Section of the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office as a volunteer. And then for the next 2 years, I prosecuted people who assaulted police officers, who tried to storm the Capitol, prosecuted a man who sought to take congresspeople hostage, prosecuted people who brought weapons into the Capitol. Those were righteous cases. Those were people who admitted breaking the law or who juries found guilty of breaking the law. I wasn't prosecuted because I did something wrong. I was prosecuted because I enforced the law to try to protect democracy.
Well, I cry, but you know how it goes. Michael Gordon led that prosecution of the J6ers. And you hear him bragging. He's very proud of what he's done. And when he talks about, I have to just talk about a detail, all the weapons they carried in. Did you know there was only one gun at the Capitol that day? No guns were ever found. The only weapon that was fired was Michael Byrd, the police, Capitol policeman who shot dead Ashley Babbitt. That's a whole issue that the J6 committee will also revisit. But I was just reading about what Michael Gordon actually did. He volunteered. He left his post in the middle of Florida and went up to New York to prosecute. He was excited about prosecuting the J6ers. And so, you know, those pretrial detentions like Jake served, where they had never even had a real hearing, but they were put in jail anyway and were held for years without a trial. It's not even legal. It's not even something we do to criminals. But that was his idea. He did that. He even for nonviolent accusations, first-time offenders. He also opposed motions to move trials out of the most democratic city in the country, and that would be Washington, D.C. He demanded excessive prison sentences. He was the one who negotiated a sweetheart deal for the infamous J6 provocateur Ray Epps. Remember the guy that was actually on camera telling people to go to the Capitol and cause trouble? There's more to say about that, but he was the one who made sure that he only got a misdemeanor. Ray Epps only got a misdemeanor. Somehow, it was okay for Ray to do that. That sentence by Ray Epps, which Gordon only asked for 6 months, well, it was reduced to probation and community service. Very mysterious. But Gordon also, he quickly convicted Richard Barnett. Richard was the guy, it was Oath Keepers, for his largely nonviolent, albeit obnoxious, excursion to the Capitol. Gordon asked the judge to sentence Barnett to 87 months in prison. Barnett's felonious, written here by Gordon Wright. Gordon writes, Barnett's felonious conduct on January the 6th, 2021, was part of a massive riot that almost succeeded in preventing the certification vote from being carried out or frustrating the peaceful transition of presidential power and throwing the United States into a constitutional crisis. That's what Gordon wrote. He sought, in another case, years in prison for a mother-son defendants, Lisa Eisenhardt and Eric Munchel, both of whom walked through an open door with Capitol Police standing by and stayed inside the building for 12 minutes. Both were convicted of an obstruction statute, later overturned by the Supreme Court. I could go on and on about what Michael did, but he's very upset, so he's now going to be suing Pam Bondi and the others. By the way, two others were fired also, and they're very upset about it, but I'm not crying any tears. I think that actually, what I would say, his punishment should have to sit in a room and watch what we've seen, what police actually did on that day, over and over and over again, until he, you know, watch Roseanne Boylan being beaten, watch Victoria White being beaten. Let him watch what happened to the guy who was shot and his face was torn apart by the firebomb. It's just unbelievable. He feels still like he's done something very righteous. And so the record has to be set straight about this. And God willing, it will. That's certainly my prayer. And meanwhile, as we try to help these guys and restore their lives, I would mention what Jake said. Go to j6rebuild.com if you would like to give some money to help these guys. j6rebuild.com. And also, you can follow Jake if you want to hear more about what's happening with these guys. Go to Twitter, at Jake Lang, J-A-K-E-L-A-N-G. And also, he did mention this Welcome Home celebration for for the J6ers on August the 30th in Miami. So I guess you can find that at his at Jake Lane Twitter. He'll tell you more about that. And if I end up speaking there, I'll let you know. So anyway, well, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because we couldn't do this without their support. They show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.